Because of what is happening in the Middle East and really all around the world right now, the book of Jonah is especially relevant to us today. Jonah is not a children's story. It's a story about international politics and interreligious relations. When we read the Hebrew scriptures, there is one theme that is constant and clear. The Jewish people are special because they have been chosen by God. Yahweh is their God and they are his people. Some American political philosophers have adopted this scriptural view for our own country in the theory of American exceptionalism, where America is seen as a shining city on the hill, something like America First. Since the Jewish people were often tempted to pagan worship and immorality, Moses and the priests were isolationists. They taught the Jews to stay separated from the pagans. Often these pagan nations were also their political enemies. Taken to an extreme, this separatist tradition easily became a form of excessive nationalism that saw everyone outside their nation and their religion as evil and untouched by God. Not just America First, but America alone. However, there was a small group of Jewish prophets who thought that this separatist and exclusivist tradition was wrong. This group believed that the Lord, as the creator of the world, is the God of all people. All people are God's children. Scripture scholars have called them the universalists because they believed that God's mercy and love was universal. It was not just for the chosen people. The author of Jonah was a member of this universalist camp, who lived around 600 to 200 years before the birth of Christ. His story begins with Jonah being told by God to preach repentance in Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, an empire that included what today we call Iraq and Syria. By the time the story was written, Nineveh actually no longer existed. But the author used it to symbolize all those nations that were hated by Israel. Jonah is told by God, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Their wickedness has come before me." This was like telling a modern-day Jewish rabbi to preach in the Gaza. Rather than going to Nineveh, Jonah set sail in the opposite direction towards Spain. Why does Jonah flee? At first, we might think he's afraid of the Ninevites and what they might do to him when he starts to preach. But what he really fears is that the Ninevites might listen. They might believe and do penance, and God might forgive them. What Jonah fears is not failure. What he fears is success. Jonah is not a nice man. He's really a jerk. He's a man filled with hate. He was like many people in the world today. Israelis hating Palestinians, Palestinians hating Israelis, Shia hating Sunnis, Sunnis hating Shia, radical Buddhists in Myanmar hating Rohingya Muslims, Hindu nationalists in India attacking Muslims and Christians. But it also happens in our own country, where white supremacists hate immigrants and blacks. Democrats hate Republicans, and Republicans hate Democrats. Jonah hated Nineveh. He did not want its reconciliation with God. He wanted its destruction. So he sails away on a ship. When the storm comes, the crew and the passengers all pray to their gods for deliverance. Jonah doesn't pray because he knows it's his God who has caused the storm. When he finally admits this to the crew, only reluctantly do they ultimately throw him overboard and then pray to God for forgiveness for this crime. God, of course, then sends this giant fish to rescue Jonah. And Jonah praises God for rescuing him from death, but he's not happy when God again tells him to go to Nineveh. But this time he goes. He knows he really has no choice. When he arrives in Nineveh, Jonah announces that in 40 days, the city will be destroyed. Jonah likes this idea. He likes the idea of destroying Nineveh. But again, the worst of all possible things happens. The Ninevites repent. God relents and does not destroy Nineveh. Jonah is, and that's the story cuts off. Jonah, as the story continues, Jonah is very disappointed and he's angry. He complains to God. "This is why I fled," Jonah tells God. "I knew you are gracious and merciful, God, slow to anger, rich in clemency, loath to punish." He's so unhappy, he tells God, "Please take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah would rather die than see his enemies live. There are so many ironies in this book of Jonah. When Jonah preaches in Nineveh, he does not offer mercy and forgiveness. He prophesies destruction. His prophecy does not come true because God is merciful. Jonah, who disobeyed God and was not punished, is angry at God for being merciful. He is angry, and later in the story, he's angry over the death of a plant that's giving him shade in the desert, but he really doesn't care about the destruction of this large city. That'd be fine as far as he's concerned. And the greatest of all ironies is that the city is Nineveh, the capital of one of the most cruel and unjust empires in the Middle East, in the history of Israel. The book of Jonah reminds us that even the evilest person or empire can repent. The book of Jonah tells us that our goal must be reconciliation with our enemies, not their destruction. This is why the church teaches that war must always be the last resort, not an early option. Negotiations and diplomacy must come first. Christians must seek dialogue and friendship with people of other religions and not treat them as enemies. The book of Jonah applies not only to international affairs, but also to our personal lives. Hatred and the inability to forgive can be self-destructive among nations, between ethnic groups, in families, in the workplace, even in the church. When we see someone as an enemy, we have failed to see them as children of God. Jonah is also like the opponents of Pope Francis. They don't like the Pope because he constantly is talking about compassion, the compassion and mercy of God, especially for divorced and remarried couples. These opponents of Pope Francis stress rules and want a God who punishes sinners. With the Christmas season now behind us, the gospel readings of the first Sundays in ordinary time tell us of the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. Two Sundays ago, we had the baptism of Jesus from Matthew's gospel. Last Sunday, we had in the Gospel of John the calling of John and Andrew, who were introduced to Jesus by John the Baptist. Today, in Mark's gospel, we hear Jesus begin his preaching and call his first disciples. In future Sundays, until we reach Lent, we will continue to hear from the teachings of Jesus in his early ministry. Jesus tells us in today's gospel, the reign of God is at hand. Reform your lives, believe in the good news. He asks us to look into our hearts and reject the hatreds that motivate us. He asks us to be reconciled with our enemies and to love them as children of God our Father. As we continue the Eucharist, we pray that our hearts might not be hardened with hatred like Jonah's. We pray that all peoples might reform their lives and believe in the good news of God's mercy and love for all his children.